Hi, I'm Paulina.
Hi, I'm Bricia.
And we're sisters, friends, daughters, wives, and business owners.
And we're just following our dreams, you know, working to be a better version of ourselves every day. All right. And we're also moms.
Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, everyone.
How are you, Super Mamas? What's up? What's up?
What's up? Welcome to the show.
Wait,
guys.
Is what's up like a thing to say now? Or is it like, what's good? Is that like a cool way? Is what's up like not cool anymore?
You know what? It's so hard to keep up with this Gen Z kids nowadays. I don't know.
Well, let's introduce ourselves and then I'll tell you. And then I can share with everybody what Elizabeth told me. Everything, all the rules Elizabeth has sent over to us.
Yes. Hi, guys. I am Paulina. I am the co-host of your favorite podcast, the Super Mamas podcast. I am a mom of three. I am Bricia's sister. And I'm just here trying to, you know, live a better life.
So am I, sister. I am, I was going to say I am Paulina. I am not Paulina. I am Bricia. I am Paulina's sister. I am also a co-host of this podcast, believe it or not. I have a I have a six-year-old and a nine-month-old. And yeah, I'm just trying to, right now, I'll do like three things at once, like per usual.
Welcome to the show, guys. Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood. If you're new to the show and to our longtime listeners, what's new, guys? I don't know.
What's good? I feel like when I said, what's up? That sounded like I was like stuck in like the 2001 or something.
I think you were like in 1990s, Risa. That's like, you know, that's old.
Oh, is it?
What's up?
What's up? Tootsie roll. That was like that?
Like that.
Okay. Well, then what's good?
What's good?
Gucci? No, what's Gucci is like 2010. Right? You don't say that anymore?
No, we don't say that anymore. Anyway.
We don't say that anymore. Okay. Cálmate.
We don't say that anymore. But what I was going to say is, if you don't do so already, please follow us on our social media. It's still called IG, Instagram, and Twitter, @_
Girl, we got to get on TikTok. I'm on TikTok @BriciaLopez, if anyone's interested.
I am actually on TikTok. There's probably one video of me out there, but you know, I am on TikTok. Facebook, Super Mamas Podcast, and supermamas.com on the World Wide Web. The proper name, and you can also send us an email at hello@supermamas.com or call us at 424-326-3707. And we might or might not have a tip. We're actually going to have a bunch of tips in this episode. Welcome to the show, guys. This week, we are doing something a little bit different that we haven't done in a while. We're going to be answering your questions. We asked that you guys send us questions. So we're going to do a fun Q&A with my sister.
An AMA. It's called an AMA, Paulina.
What is that?
Ask me anything. It's like a thing Reddit does.
It's like BYOY, being your own wine?
No, Paulina, it's not like that. It's called AMA, Ask Me Anything.
Ask Me Anything. It's an Ask Me Anything episode.
It's an AMA. AMA. That's like the cool way to say it.
It's a cool way to say
it. Anyway, Paulina, hit it.
No, tell me then. No, I want to know the rules.
Oh, the rules. Okay, so here, before we get started into the questions, here are the rules. Apparently, you cannot use the crying emoji anymore. You can only use the emoji with the big eyes and like the... Okay, if you want to do like a laugh out loud, hold on. The crying emoji. Let me start with that one. The crying emoji, the one with the kid crying with like the two blue lines, like that crying when something is just like, you're crying because it's sad. You can't. You have to use the emoji with the emoji that's sad with the big eyes.
With the watery eyes.
There you go. Mm-hmm. With the big eyes.
Yes.
So if you're using it like something's really funny, you can definitely use the crying emoji the laughing so hard you're crying emoji, but only with the cat, not with the actual person anymore or the emoji. Mm-hmm. The cat's still okay. And if something's super funny, you have to use the calavera emoji, like you're dead. Like it's so funny, you're dead. which I'm having a really hard time putting into context because I'm usually texting people who probably don't know these rules and are probably like, why are you sending a dad emoji? So I'm trying to get them sort of like in the same, you know.
Right. Right.
Also, you cannot wear your hair as a side part anymore. That's no out. Middle part only. Mm-hmm. So if you have a side part right now, pull over, switch your side part to the middle part because side part means you're old. And
what about no part? One. What about no part?
Yeah, no part is fine. You can totally okay. be snatched. You can totally be Got snatched. It. But for me, if I did that, all my pelos in the front would be sticking out because, you know, baby hair. And of course, the last one that I think everybody's into already knows is like the no skinny jeans.
Which is like devastating for me because I finally found some jeans that complement my body. And then now they're goner, they're goners. And I'm like,
Also,
now
I mean, this-
now I'm going back to like, I was talking to my friend the other day. She was like, why? She was like, then we're going to look like bland, like, ¿cómo se dice? Flat teenagers. And I was like, are we going to look like flat teenagers? I mean, you know,
flat teenagers. What is that?
Yeah.
Mean?
Like, you know, like no booty, no nothing. Cause the pants are so why? Big and baggy because their pants are baggy.
Oh, like, you can still wear like flare jeans, like bell bottoms.
That's true, I guess. Oh, okay, okay, I see. So no skinny at the bottom, like that's what it means. Just like
yeah, no skinny jeans,
No pantalones entubados, así.
Right. And then I don't know if this is a rule, but I'm putting it as my rule. I mean, I have to go shopping, but I'm kind of like over my ripped jeans. Like I'm kind of like not into ripped jeans anymore.
Ripped jeans are still a thing. I've seen the new.
I know, but like not like fully like ripped, or maybe I don't know. I'm this is sort of like personally, I'm kind of like, I'm not really gonna buy any more ripped jeans.
I see what you mean.
And then thankfully tie-dye is still a thing. I'm like, oh, we're still in business, my son. We're still in business.
Tie-dye is still a thing. It's a thing everywhere. It's like everything is tie-dye now. Everything is tie-dye.
I know. You should see I should post a picture of my son going to school.
He's on brand. He's on brand.
Wait, this fool has tie-dye Converse, tie-dye pants, tie-dye shirt. he's like straight on, like he and every day he wears one of his tie-dye shirts.
Hey, you know, he's representing, he's on brand. I know older men that do that with their business shirts all the time. So he's doing the right thing.
But anyway, okay, hit it with the AMAs.
Let's see. Ask me anything. Okay. Are your kids in public or private school, pro and con?
Okay. Damn, you guys are like getting like, we're like hitting it in already, right? All these personal questions. Okay.
So you're private. I'm public. You can go ahead. You can go first.
No, you go first.
Well, I guess the biggest pro of going to public school is like not paying. That's it.
Yeah, I'm like,
I mean, what else?
I'm pros and cons. I pay money and you don't for school.
I don't pay. But you know, like that also leaves the thing where like you don't pay, so you have to go with what they pay, pretty much, you know? And we run, like my school is actually a charter school, which is made by parents, but we still have to follow the district's rules. So it's kind of like a mix. I like it because parents have a lot of saying, but sometimes that's not good either, you know, for the school. So for me, it's just money. I'm like, yay, I don't have to pay anymore because I was paying, I'm starting to pay again preschool, but once she hits the first grade or TK, no more pain. I guess that's
Mike. Okay. So my kids in private school, Paulina and I have always gone to public school.
Yes.
Why I chose private school. I think maybe that's why I should go there first. Mm-hmm. The reason I chose private school was because where I live, there aren't any charters there are a few charters that I liked, but I wasn't able to get in. And because charters are by lottery, Paulina is a founding member of this charter school. So she got very lucky and she was super active since the beginning. I personally wasn't. And the school in my neighborhood was not something that I thought my son would thrive in. So, and because I was already sort of in paying for childcare, preschool, I think everyone in NLA pays for preschool, if I'm not mistaken, the majority, right, of people. If you're going full time, my son was going full time from 9 to 5. So yeah. I sort of had already budgeted that in my life. So I just decided to kind of keep going with the private route. So he's going to a private kindergarten. Cons, I pay. Pros, I think a lot of people don't realize that they can apply for financial aid. I personally, I get financial aid and my school has something called index tuition. So you are able to pay sort of depending on what you make. And I think a lot of people just look at private schools as like, oh my God. But there are a lot that offer financial help. Pro, I was able to find a school that I thought really was aligned with my values and sort of like my lifestyle, I should say. Maybe, I don't know if that's the right way of saying it. For me, for example, my kid's school isn't big on homework. It's more about kids playing and very, you know, letting kids be kids, which was really big for me. The kids, you know, they don't want to wear shoes. They don't have to wear shoes. That was another one thought that was very much like my son, you know, very much like my son. And then
it's a little bit more on the rye side, right?
I don't know if it's like, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't say if there was a rye side. I think like but it definitely has those values behind it. And then I think the big one that when I went to visit it that I really liked was just like the robust curriculum around like the kids exploring in general and curiosity and also advocacy. Like the kids advocate for their grades. So they don't get graded. They don't get like ABCDs. Instead, you know, every quarter, I think it depends on what grade they are. The kids sit down with the teachers and the parents, or I think first the parents, the teachers, and then like the kids get involved as they get older, as like, what do they deserve? They look at the year, what they've done, and then they kind of have a discussion on what grade they deserve.
Huh, that's interesting. That's very like Cher from Clueless.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And my son's already a great negotiator. So I'm like, you're going to kill it here.
That's great. I wish I could go, but I would have gone to a school like that. Well, you know, that's one of the things of why I chose a charter school. I'm not in full public school. I'm in a charter school. And that's one of the things that it aligned to everything that I believe. You know, it's a bilingual school. It's a little bit more on the play side base.
Yeah.
No, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you definitely have to find what fits your child too. And for me, I'm big on community. And I think sometimes the experience that I had that we had growing up in public school was that the lack of community that, you know, that sometimes happens. I mean, a community, I guess like parents make their own community, but in the charter, because the parents are more involved, there's a bigger sense of community and we have direct communication with the principal at all times. And, you know, it's a lot of communication. So I think that's one of the things that I like too about a charter. And I think you definitely need to see what is important for you. Like my sister said, for me, it was important. It was like one of the biggest things was that the school was bilingual. And So my kids go to like a, you know, like a 50-50 bilingual school and I love it. So it depends on your family and what you're looking
for. Yeah. Your school is dual immersion. So dual like immersion. That's awesome. And my kid's school is not.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the next one is I'm 30 weeks pregnant and I'm debating whether I should get my COVID vaccine. Thoughts. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts is like, number one, I'm not a doctor. My first thought when that kind of question comes in. I think it's something that you have to discuss with your doctor. I've heard from both sides. I have friends who are pregnant and who have decided to not get the COVID vaccine because they're pregnant. And I have friends who are pregnant and were so excited to hear when the doctors gave them the go ahead, because that way their kids can get their antibodies too. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just, I know both sides personally. Like, I think, like, what would you do? Like, if you were pregnant, I was pregnant during the pandemic, right? And during the pandemic, I chose to have the flu shot. Like, I was like, okay, give me the flu shot because I think it's so important. And I think given that, like, if had the vaccine come when I was pregnant, I personally would have gone it myself. Now, that's not to say that you should or anyone listening to should. I'm just talking about what I would have done. And again, I'm not a doctor, and I think you should definitely talk to your doctor about it. But you asked, I answered. Paulina?
Yeah, I would say the same thing. Have a conversation with your partner. And again, align to the values that you feel. Like, if you get vaccines all the time, then yeah, you know, if your doctor says it's fine, then get it. If you are hesitant, I think if you're, the other day I heard something where it says, like, it's not related to this, but like agreeing enthusiastically. If you're enthusiastic about it, go ahead and do it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And if you have your doubts and your reservations, then you shouldn't, because you're going to overthink it all the time. Oh, what did I do? Why did I do this? Why did I do that?
Or like, oh, is that what, like, and then like, if something's happening with your kid, you're going to be like, oh, it's because I got the COVID vaccine.
Yes, yes. So if you're enthusiastic about it and you feel like in your gut that you want to go ahead and do it, then do it. But if you have any hesitations, I would say, you know, wait it off. The pregnancy, it's going to end at some point, and you're going to have a bit, you know, your baby's going to be born. And then at that point, you can make a decision for yourself.
Is that it going to end at some point?
I mean, the baby will come out.
Oh,
I guess.
Oh, right. Oh, right. I mean, okay. Got it. Yes, it will come out.
That's true. Okay. Next question. How do you get along with your in-laws, specifically your mother-in-law?
That's dun, 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 dun. That's so funny.
How did you get along with your mother-in-law, Priscilla?
I get along great. I love her. She's the best. My mother-in-law is wonderful. My husband, like, calls his mom almost every other day. I think actually every day, and they have conversations and I'm there. And I just say, you know, hello. I need to call her more often than a side. Like, just her and I. So I, you know, but I don't call her every day, but my husband does, and we're always home, and I talk to her almost, you know, daily. She's awesome. She does live in San Diego, so I don't see her as often, but she does come when we have, you know, parties or in someone's birthday or and she is a little bit older, so throughout this past year we weren't able to see her because, you know, COVID. But now that everyone's vaccinated, it's great. I don't know, like, when people say, like, I'm not, like, you know, like, I don't, like, not talk to her. I don't know. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I will say this. It's funny because my husband would love for me to have a deeper relationship with his mom. I think my husband would love if it would have, like, I think in his dream would be like, I call his mom every day and, like, we'd have conversations. But I'm always telling him to be careful what you wish for, buddy, because if you don't behave, like, the first person I'm going to call is your mom, you know? And, like, it's been so many times where my husband and I have arguments and I'm, like, so close to calling his mom. And he's always like, I mean, kill her. Why don't you, you know? And he's, you know, and I'm just like, wait, like, if you want me to have a relationship with your mom, like, it's going to be a relationship. Like, we're going to talk. Right. Yeah, so, So I've never called my mother-in-law to, like, para quejarme ever.
Mm-hmm. I, on the other hand, nah. well, the same thing, you know, my in-laws live in Mexico. They live in Oaxaca. So I don't really get to see them as much. I do call them. I do get on the phone with them. I mean, not like every week, but at least I would say at least once a month, you know, I call my father-in-law and my mother-in-law. I have had, like, really big, deep conversations with my mother-in-law. I feel like we have some things in common and we have a lot of things not in common. She really views me as a super, super progressive woman, which I don't know. I guess, you know, in reference to her, I am, you know, she was from a, it's just from a different generation. And sometimes she says things, I have a sister-in-law. Sometimes she says things about like being a mother or a woman. And I don't agree with that. And so sometimes, you know, we have conversations and I give her my points of views, and she does see me as like this, you know, I don't know, like a
una mujer de mundo.
No, like a, yeah, like a creature from a different planet, because she, you know, I am very like, I work, I do this, I, you know, I do a lot of things, and in her view, I think before more than anything, like the woman should stay home and do all these things, you know, and serve, you know, be with the kids and like do all those things. And
she would be like, wouldn't that be nice?
Well, yeah. And ooh, so,
be nice.
You know, I do have, I get along with her really well. My in-laws like me.
I think.
And, you know, my father-in-law, he's such a sweet person. He's always asking me how I am. And, you know, my husband is here. The only family that he has here is us and my family, which is now his family. So it's important for him to have connection with his family who's far. So I always try to keep him up to date, see what we're doing, you know, just like talk about life. And, you know, sometimes I don't tell him our problems, but sometimes my husband does. And so they call me to see how I am and what I'm doing. And I'm like, okay, you know, I'm doing good. Don't worry about it. You know, I handle him. And so, you know, my mother, they're thankful because they feel that, you know, we are growing together. So yeah, I get along. I mean, están lejos, so I get along with them great because they're far. I don't know.
I will say that my mother-in-law like freaking loves me. And I'm sure like if my husband and I ever got in a fight, she would probably take my side.
They always do. They always do. Mother-in-law's always do. Mostly, I guess. Anyway, so that's that. I love my father-in-law. Hola, suegros. ¿Cómo están? Next one is tips on how to deal with postpartum depression, virtual learning, and COVID from a mama of a 2-month-old and a 5-year-old. Girl.
That's you, Paulina. It's all you.
¿Qué te puedo decir? Well, you know, I think one of the biggest things that we have always talked about and advocate is self-care. And giving yourself time, because if you don't take care of you, then you cannot take care of those little ones. It's just, that's just a reality. One, two, I think acknowledging that you're going through a difficult time, it's the most important thing, because I do believe that there's people that don't acknowledge that and they just keep going and feeling like this is what life should feel like. And it is not at all. We're here to have a good life. Mm-hmm. And asking for help and getting help. There's so many resources. When I, you know, first started dealing with postpartum depression, like almost 10 years ago, it was very different. Nowadays, thankfully, there's so many things. There's actually places specially targeted for mothers on mental health. There is a place that I always recommend, which is maternal mental health. Now, and that is where I met my current therapist. I've had two therapists in my life. This is my current therapist. I connected with her after I had Sixta, and it's been amazing. It's focused on mothers and postpartum, pre, and everything that has to do with mental health for mothers. And you definitely need to talk to someone. Even sharing makes a huge, huge,
even
huge
writing
difference.
Even writing to us.
This is a first step. You're doing it. And there's going to be a lot of work that you have to do. It's going to be hard. It's not, but you just take it one day at a time. And then one day you look back and be like, oh my God, I did that. And virtual learning, get the book. Another thing that I'm just like, I don't know, you know, just take it slow, do what you can, don't over exaggerate, and be kind to yourself. That is the hardest thing that I've ever had to do with myself. I'm really great at cheering other people. I'm really great at like, oh, you can do this. And I'm really great at telling you this. But when it comes to me, I'm always so hard on myself. But that is my biggest challenge, just to keep being nice to me, because that's the only way that that I have been able to move on from that. If I realize that I have to love myself enough to do the work, to put in the time, to get help so that I can be better for everyone else.
Oh, aw, Paulina, that's beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Next question is sleep routines for older kids. How do you put down the kids now that they're older?
I mean, I don't know how older you think our kids are. I mean,
I guess not babies. Tell you,
not babies. Okay, so I'm pretty hardcore about sleeping. In my home, every child is asleep. When I mean my 9-month-old is lights out, like she's passed out by like 6:45, so she's done. And then my
that's later than originally, because at first it was 6, no?
Well, no. I start her routine at 6.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and she's passed out by 6:45. And my son
What time does she wake up?
Well, right now she's been waking up like at 3 a.m. and then, or 2 a.m. and then she goes back to sleep. And then like she wakes up like around between 6 and 7.
Ay, Dios mío. Uh-huh.
30. Mm-hmm. And my 6-year-old, he is passed out by 8 p.m. So that's like after 8 p.m. there's no children and awake in my house. So routine wise, what you do, I'll tell you what I do. I don't know if this is the right or wrong way. I am just very vocal about it. When we started this new routine, right? Because I think it got to some point Eduardo was falling asleep by like 9:30, and it was just not working out for my lifestyle. You know, my husband and I, number one, have a conversation with your husband first and say, okay,
100%.
Here's what I would like. I would like our children to go to sleep and to be sleepy, not to go to sleep, because it's a very difference like what time they go to sleep or that time they're actually asleep, right?
Yep.
So the conversation was like, I think it's very important that our kids are sleeping by 8 o'clock. Like by 8 o'clock, our children should be asleep. Mm-hmm. And what I mean that is like, there's nobody having conversations with our kids at 8 o'clock. So what does that mean? That means that we need to start the routine an hour before.
Yeah.
So that's step one. Step two is actually being vocal with your children and letting them know this is happening. So with Eduardo, I prep them for like 3 days and I say, hey, listen, on Monday, we're going to start, or on Tuesday, or on Wednesday, or tomorrow, your bedtime is actually 7 p.m. So even though in my mind, his bedtime is 8 p.m., in his mind, his bedtime is 7. I can't tell him his bedtime is 8. Because if I did that,
he would start putting him down to sleep. Yeah.
Yeah. So I tell him, okay, Eduardo, your bedtime is at 7. So starting like next week, your bedtime is at 7. So he knows. And I tell him throughout the day, remember that today your bedtime is at 7. So that's kind of when we started the routine. At 7 p.m. Is usually where I would be done with my daughter, putting her down. And this is when, you know, it's time to put all effort on Eduardo and go take a shower. Now it's a little bit different because now that he already knows, like my bedtime is 7, there's no need to communicate that with him, right? Like he knows it. Yeah. It's like second nature to him. So now as it has evolved, it's more like, now what I do is, hey, Eduardo, you know, I know your bedtime is 7. I'm going to start showering your sister at 6. Why don't you go shower too? If you go shower right now, it'll be easier because then we can have some time to play. And then by the time your bedtime comes, like then we can actually like go to bedtime. So in his mind, he's like, okay, so now he goes showers between 6 and 6:30 on his own while I shower the baby. Mm-hmm. And then it gives us about like some time to just hang out. And around 7:15-ish is when we start doing story time. And he like likes me to read, like, or me or my husband, most of the time, my husband reads him like 6 books.
Six?
So it gives us, he can just go forever. But the reason is because he's already kind of down at 7:15. it gives us time to read him that much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because, and then by eight, like, and then we put it, and he loves to hear meditation. Not every kid is about like that. My son loves sleep meditation, and he listens to the same meditation, the same person. He's very much like that.
A DT from Peloton. He showed me.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah. He's super hardcore. A specific one. He knows how to find it. And within a DT 5 minutes of the meditation, he's out. So like, and then it's still sort of early for us. It's still 8 o'clock. So even though we read five books, we can, because we do it from like 7:15 to 7:45, you know, I mean, or like 7:50. It's not like I'm out at 10 PM reading him five books. Like, no, then 8 PM comes and that's it. Then we leave and it's like, yay, adult time.
That's great. Yeah. I do highly believe on the 3-day rule. It really takes 3 days for children. It took me 3 days to sleep train 6 9. It was hard the first 3 days, but after that, they get used to it. My girls are all very different. Krista has a room of her own now. She sleeps by herself. So Krista, you know, she's at that age where I really don't have to do much. Whenever she's like, if it's 7 p.m. and she's like, I'm tired, she just like, Mom, I'm going to go to sleep. Okay. And then when I go see her 10 minutes later, she's in bed and she's sleeping. She's knocked out. Or, you know, I'm like, okay, guys, it's time to go to bed. I don't have to fight with her. She is more like, okay. So she goes, puts her PJs, she brushes her teeth, and then she goes to bed with a book. She reads to herself now. And all she requires me to do is just go and say, you know, good night, babe. I love you. You know, we have this saying, we have this thing between me and her where I say, okay, daughter. And she's like, mother. And I'm like, daughter. And she's like, mother. So it's like our love thing. Yeah. We're like, okay, good night, daughter, mother. And so she goes, you know, I'm like, okay, good night. Love you. And then she goes to bed. And even if she's hanging out in her room, if I tell her it's time to go to bed, she won't fight me. She'll just go and do it. Now, yay, Sabina and Sixta. I think the one that has the hardest time to go to bed is Sabina. Sabina wants to sleep with me 24/7. She's like, can I sleep with you tonight? No, please. No, no, please, please. And if I say, okay, tonight, pinky swear, pressed accept. And she requires me to do so much for her because she wants me to sleep with her. She's the hardest to put down, more than Sixta. Sixta, if I tell her it's time to go to bed, I take her. And we usually, I start putting them down to sleep between 8 and 8:30. And yes, it actually requires like an hour. So they're in bed by 9, you know? So at 8 or 8:30, we go with the PJs on, we brush our teeth, and we start heading to the room. And Sabina's in there, and Sabina doesn't like to sleep on her own. She sleeps with Sixta in a bunk bed, but they both sleep in the same, in the lower, and they fight a lot. So it's my struggle of, okay, guys, it's time to go to bed. Don't fight. They want me to read a book each one. So I read like a small book for Sixta and another book for Sabina. And sometimes, you know, even Krista wants to read a book for them, and I don't have to read a book for them. Sometimes they want me to sit in the room for like 5 minutes. And what I do is also they have a playlist that they like at night. It's the Disney lullabies. And so I put the lullabies. I say, okay, good night. I turn off the light and I walk out. And because I've done it for so long, you know, it's easy. Sometimes they do get up and they go to my bed and I have to bring them back. But that's mostly like on weekends where they're like, it's the weekend, I want to sleep with you. And I think it's just really about repetition, repetition, repetition. And it becomes a habit for them. When you're in the middle of the training, you feel like it's never going to change. But after some time, it does. And, you know, and then one day you're going to have a kid like Krista where she just doesn't really need much and she goes to bed. Or, you know, then, and if it's,
or you'll be reading, or you'll be reading five books forever.
Oh, you'll be reading five books forever. But, you know, I think that the older they get, the easier it gets. They do, you know, it's easier for them to get up, get out of bed, wake up, you know, go do all those things. But I think they understand more. And like you were saying, talking to them and explaining and walking through them vocally about what's happening really helps the kids with everything, not just with sleep.
Yeah, yeah. And I was going to say, on Fridays, like him and my husband have the voice night, he calls it.
Yeah.
So in voice night, my son gets an hour, his pet time is an hour later. So that's like he's like, ooh, raging. My bedtime is 8.
You know what? One day I fell asleep on the couch and Sabina said she was going to sleep with me. And I said, okay, our couch in the living room becomes a bed. So we were staying there and I fell asleep and I woke up and it was 11 p.m. and she was like on the TV watching, you know, something, like she was binge watching something. I was like, go to sleep. She was like, no, I'm watching something. It's the weekend. I'm like, okay, Sabina. So Sabina is the hardest. Like, not even Sixta. Sabina is the hardest. Brisa, they want you to share about the time you ditched school to go see J-Lo.
Wait, what was the question?
Share about the time. Well, it's a two question in one. Share about the time Brisa ditched school to go see J-Lo. And I should also share about ditching too much in high school.
Okay, so I don't know if you all got the memo wrong, but I never ditched. She came to Virgin Records. It was nighttime.
Oh,
I clearly remember.
Wait, you never ditched school? You ditched school.
No, of course I ditched school. I didn't ditch school for this.
Ah, okay.
So I don't know if you guys want to hear like a ditching story or you guys want to hear the story about...
No, they want to just know about
the story before, the J-Lo story. Okay, so I didn't ditch, but... Okay, so let's just talk about my J-Lo, like...
Obsession.
I would say obsession in high school. I love J-Lo. Like,
you dress like J-Lo. Your hair was like J-Lo.
Right. So that's where I was going with that. Do you all remember J-Lo Puff Daddy red carpet VMAs when J-Lo had like the paliacate with the rhinestones in her head and the big diamond hoops?
Yeah.
That was my look all through high school. Rhinestones, everything. She had the sunglasses that she's wearing.
The in her ones, right?
J-Lo, yeah, in her My Love Don't Cost a Thing video, I had those in both pink and brown. Like J-Lo, I had a J-Lo poster in my bedroom, the big like My Love Don't Cost a Thing poster. Like, I love J-Lo. And my best friend also shared the same J-Lo obsession. So we both, after school, Virgin Records. On Sunset, they were going to have a J-Lo release for her CD, and she was going to be there. And I got so excited. We got there, but there were people there already. And I really wanted to see her. So I climb a pole, like a pole, and then I like reached over my hand and I held with a phone with your life in the pole, and she looked at me and I looked at her and we had a moment. And she touched my hand and I touched hers. And to this day, it was the softest hand. It was as soft as my baby's hand. Like, that's her soft. And I could smell her. Her smell stayed in my hand. And she smelled so good and her hand was so soft. And that was forever. And ever since then, I've been chasing that moment. I've been chasing that same feeling. And I've been chasing the same amount of softness. But it obviously didn't work out for me. But yeah, that's the story. And I would, my friend and I would ditch school. And we would go to the Beverly Center, which is a mall on La Cienega, here in Los Angeles, called Beverly Center. And we would bump My Love Don't Cost a Thing in my friend's car. And we thought we were like the coolest girls in the world. And I had a pink tank top that said BB on it, made out of rhinestones, wearing my brown shades. And I thought I was hot shit. And that was my high school days.
Hot girl shit.
That was hot girl shit back then.
Hot girl shit back then. You would come all the way from Pali to Beverly Center?
I mean, we would just ditch. We never went back to school.
Wow, that's crazy. Oh, you never made it to school. You just like stopped at the Beverly Center.
No, like we left early. Like after, the thing is that in high
school. That's far.
It was far. In high school, I sort of stacked my classes to where, so our high school has 3 periods in a day. And the classes were longer, like an hour and a half. Each class was like an hour and a half, 2 hours. So I didn't have 1 through 6. I had 1, 2, 3, and then 2, 4, 6 periods, like 3 classes a day. So my fifth period was elective and my sixth period was yearbook. So basically I had two classes a day. So after lunch, like, girl was done, because my elective was with my photo teacher who loved me because I was the yearbook editor. And I don't know why he trusted me so much. Number one, I never took a photo class in my life, but he thought I was like a photographer, a professional photographer. So he would just let me go. And I would just be like, bye. So wow. Yeah, yeah, I had it pretty great.
I know. Well, I did ditch a lot. My senior, actually, I think I ditched a lot. I ditched a lot my senior year because, yeah, I was pretty much done. I didn't have a lot of classes. And yeah, I just went crazy on senior year. And I got caught a lot too, because back then I wonder what they do now in high school when your kids don't show up. But back then they would call your parents and let them know, like, oh, you know, señora. And me acuerdo, Miss Hernandez used to be in the office. I hated so much. I'm pobrecita. I have nothing against you now. I hope you're doing great. But back then I was like, oh, Miss Hernandez.
Her daughter's probably listening to us like, that was my mom.
And she was like, because she was the Spanish speaking person in the office, and she would be in charge of calling the parents. And I remember her. She was a short lady. I'm sure she was super sweet. But back then she was the enemy of all students. And she would call my parents and tell them, like, oh, you know, your child didn't show up. So I found a way to, like, get ahead. And I would hire my friends, my male friends, to call in from the phone outside of the office to say, oh, mi hija no va a poder ir hoy. And I remember one time my friend Joe, shout out to my friend Joe. I don't know where he's at right yet now. But I'd be like, dude, hilarious. You have to call him because, you know, they're going to call my dad. And so you have to say you're my dad. And I remember he was like, oh, sí, soy el papá. Imagine like a high school student calling, saying that he's the parent of another high school student. And then.
But like in your mind, like that would work. In your mind, right?
That would work. Like now that I think about it, I'm like, what the hell we were thinking? So we would call in and he would call in and they said, okay, so what is her birthday? And then so he got off the phone. He was like, what's your birthday? And I was like, shut up. So then they heard us and they came out of the office. That was it.
And like you were the thing is, you were doing this on a payphone outside the office.
On a payphone.
So they could hear the school.
The school was there. And actually, eventually they call mom in. I don't even remember this, but they call my best friend and I, Jackie, we were both, they wanted to send us to continuation school because we would ditch so much. And they were going to send me from Palisades. They were going to send me to Hami High. And for me back then was
Temescal.
Like,
oh, what's the Temescal? What's the Temescal?
Because that was where we used to live. So we used to live in Culver City and they wanted to send me to Hamilton. And I was like, nope. And they wanted to send my best friend to Temescal.
Shout out to all our Hamilton girlfriends. Hami,
it was because Pally and Hamilton were like against each other back then.
Rivals. So I was
like,
they were rivals.
They were rivals. So I was like, I don't want to go to Hami. That's the rival school. So my best friend and I were under contract all of our senior year. And we were not.
What? I had no idea.
I was in contract in senior year because I would ditch too much. And I would take you with me sometimes because that was bad. That was bad. Bad sister. Kind of a
sister.
For real. Kind
of a sister. Jeez.
And then I had a car. You know, they gave me a car in senior year. So I did whatever I wanted at that point. Pobres. I mean, I feel bad because now that my daughter is 9, 10, I'm like, oh my God. I don't even want to imagine what she's going to be doing at that age.
But yeah. I don't know. I was just like not going to third period. I never really ditched.
You used to ditch like all the way to Santa Barbara.
We took a couple of day trips. We took a couple day trips, but for the most part, yeah, to Santa Barbara. That was like that's like, well, we're gonna ditch. Like we better make it worth it, you know. Oh, you know why it's so funny? In my mind, I was always older. Like in my mind, I was always like older. Yeah. So like if you were going to ditch, like let's do something, you know, or if I would just not go to school, like we'd go to IHOP in the morning, then we'd go like hang out I was always acting like I was grown or something. I don't know why.
Ay, 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 that's me.
So weird.
So weird. Okay. One more question. How do you keep your weight down? Any specific diets? You both look great. Oh, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Well, Bricia has always been a flaca for life. How do you keep your weight down, Bricia?
You know what? Look, the other day someone said this also, like, and my husband was in the room and my husband was like advocating for me. And I was like, thanks, babe. I really appreciate you saying this because forever people have been saying things like that. Like, well, you've always been skinny. So like, whatever. And like, that's not true. It really is not true. Yes, I've always had a slender figure, but that's because I've always taken care of myself. I've always have eaten well, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I've always worked out. I started like my workout and my fitness journey in my early 20s. Mm-hmm. I've been working, like I had a trainer when I was like 21 who taught me all about fitness. So I've been like exercising since then. And there were times when I would stop, and I have photos to prove, like you've seen the photos where I'm like, whoa, you know, where my, I just look like, you know, not Baker. Like what I look like right now. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Cool. And I remember how I felt, and I remember how I felt back then. And I remember the lifestyle I was living back then. So my husband, someone said the same thing, like, oh, you're probably always like this. And my husband was like, I mean, don't get it twisted. Like my daughter, don't get it twisted. Like my wife in the work, like my wife is out there working out. She watches what she eats. She's very conscious. So for a while I would just be like, yeah, this is, you know, yeah, I've always been like this, but you know, come to think about it, I got to give myself a little bit of credit. I've always been very intentional about eating well. I've always been very aware that it's really not about how much you work out, but like what you put in your body as fuel and food. And yeah, that's the way that I would say I know when I am losing weight is because of what I'm eating, right? I don't eat as much. I don't eat a lot. That's the truth. And when I pair that with, but that's not to say like that I
no but you eat disorder. And then when you eat really well. That's what I mean you that, yeah we had this conversation about some episodes ago when I was telling you like you're really conscious about what you eat and you really can control yourself when it comes to food.
Yeah, and I clearly remember when I was 22 and it was like my first time like learning about food and health. And I remember when my trainer at the time put me in this diet to where I couldn't eat any fried foods, and he explained to me how bad fried foods were for you. So I went on like on a frying food cleanse for a month, and I remember crying at like 22, like sitting there and like crying because I really wanted to eat like a tortilla chip. I never did again just because I don't I also learned like the power of, you know, balance, and like I can have a chip if I'm gonna eat like vegetables the next day, you know.
Yeah,
so I think I've been having my health and, you know, I guess, yeah, health journey has been a 15-year journey. So I've learned a lot along the way. And one of the things is balance. And one of the things is the power of vegetables. And if you are going to have a pasta, totally cool. Just make sure the next day only eat vegetables and you're fine, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Totally. And working out and strength training is so important. Girl, whoever is listening to this, I don't know it all. I definitely not know at all, but I can tell you that I saw the most change in my body when I was doing strength training. And what I mean strength training is weights and putting muscle in your body and allowing and having this like idea that if I do weights, I'm going to look like a bodybuilder.
No,
that's not going to happen. Okay. You will not look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I promise you.
And actually, yeah, it takes so much work to look like him. It takes so much work to look like him.
Yes, 100%.
And he eats that is why so only much. He eats so much. They eat to look like that. You have to eat so much. Well, you know, it's not just like, oh my god, if I lift weights, I'm gonna get buff. No, it's like a whole. No,
you wish.
You wish. My husband has been trying to gain muscle, and it's so hard. It's actually super hard to gain muscle like that. Super, super hard.
Yeah. So you know,
still looks like that.
Yeah. So I think, and here's the perfect way I always tell people when people say like, oh, well, it must be easy for you. I think like we tell that to ourselves just to deflect. you know, like people say, when people say like, oh, well, J-Lo, well, of course she looks like that. Like she has all this money. Mm-mm. I'm like, that's not true. There's so many celebrities that have even more money than J-Lo and they don't look like that.
Yep.
Because J-Lo puts in the work. Like mm-hmm. J-Lo works out. J-Lo like takes care of her skin. J-Lo doesn't drink. J-Lo doesn't drink coffee. Like J-Lo, like she does so much. There's so much to do to be able to look like that. It's not as easy as, well, that's just the way you look. Or like, oh, well, that's, you know, she looks like that because she's, you know, J-Lo. So anyway, just need to say that because you always say that about me. And I just wanted to point out a lot of work goes into this.
It does. It definitely does. And I think like the only way that I have looked the way I look now, it's because of all the work that I've put in the past year. I mean, I don't know. When I was 8 years old, I had I don't even know what to call it, like an experience where I was fed like so much calories in a very short period of time. And when I went back home, my mom didn't really recognize me because I just like really gained a lot of weight as a child. And ever since then, it took me a long time to help. I don't know. I just feel like it was just hard for me to like, I had a really bad relationship with food growing up. It was more, I would eat for like it was emotional eating. And I had a really... We had this conversation over Easter about like all the things that I used to do to my body growing up because I wanted to be thin, but I was doing it all wrong. I did every diet that you can imagine. I took every pill that you can imagine. Not a lot of people know this, but I actually had a liposuction when I was 18 years old, which completely destroyed my stomach. And, I still have a huge scar in my stomach and that only didn't help. On the contrary, it like actually messed with my head more. And it wasn't, you know, I've tried many times, many, many times to like working out, to, you know, find a balance. But I think like at the end of the day, it comes back to everything. Like I was not in a good place emotionally. And so it reflected in everything around me, which included right. my body and my weight. So until I started doing the work to figure out what was happening with me, to dealing with my emotions, dealing with my depression, to doing the work, getting close to God, like doing all those things, that I started realizing that when it came to loving myself, it actually had to also reflect in my body. And so I started working out. It's going to be a year in May, in Memorial Day. It's like a month away. And I had to really figure out something that I enjoyed. And I, you know, working out, it, that is one of the reasons why I do not own a scale. That's one of the reasons why I don't weigh myself. That's one of the reasons why I don't measure myself. It's because it becomes an obsession for me. Like after a while, if I start doing that, it becomes an obsession because it has become an obsession in the past. I've had many issues with that, where I would supplement. Replace food with pills or with, you know, treatments. And I wouldn't eat for like days. I did the cayenne pepper diet for like 10 days, which I didn't eat. Like it was so unhealthy. Like everything that I did before was super unhealthy. And last year when I decided to start on, I didn't really see it like, oh, I'm going to start a health journey. It was just something right. that I started because I needed to deal with the anxiety that was happening with the pandemic and everything. And I needed to find an outlet to do that. And then I started working out. And yeah, you know, you're completely right. If I eat, like if I go and eat 10 tacos today and I get on the bike tomorrow, I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to do this. I don't want to work out today. I don't want to like... It's hard. It's heavy. It's like, ugh, you know, you feel the funk. But if I eat something, you know, like, I don't know, I eat a healthy meal and the next day I get on the bike, I see that I perform better. So it's just balance, trying to balance it out. I love food. And that's what I was telling you like last time. I love eating. And so I have to be very mindful that yes, if I'm going to eat a heavy meal today, or like if I want to go eat tacos, then for lunch, I should have a salad. And the next day for, you know, for breakfast, I should have a smoothie and like balance it out and like, you know, flush all the things and drink a lot of water and do all the things. But I think also it's, I don't really see it. I don't know how much weight I've lost. I'm not sure. Maybe I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure I did. I have, you know, because I can see it on my clothes, but I don't really focus on that anymore because it becomes an obsession. And I just want to have a different lifestyle. I think like if you, for me, at least if I focus on like, I want to lose a certain amount of pounds, then I start doing things that I'm not supposed to do just to hit that number.
Got it.
And then once I hit that number, it's like, then I can go back to doing whatever I was doing. And then I gain it back again. And, you know, it's like, I don't want to see it like that. I just want to see it like I'm changing habits in my life.
That makes sense.
That makes sense.
That was a long-winded answer from both of us, but yeah.
But yeah, thank you. And that's what we're doing. Join us on the Peloton Super Mama Leaderboard if you are a Peloton rider, because there is over 100 mamas already there.
Amazing. What's up, girl? I know. My shout out to my Super Mama Leaderboard.
Yeah. Okay, so let's take a break and come back with more tips for the Super Mamas, I guess. Let's take a break and come back. Hey, Super Mamas. Paulina and Brisa here. We just want to remind you to rate and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, follow us on Spotify, SoundCloud, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Also, have you seen us rocking our Super Mama swag? Well, we want you to join in. Use promo code SMPODCAST at checkout on supermamas.com/swag for 15% off your next order. Again, that's code SMPODCAST on supermamas.com/swag for 15% off. Okay, now back to the show.
And we are back on the show. That was fun. I love the Q&As. No, the Ask Me Anything.
The AMAs.
AMAs. I love it. I love it. Thank you. We should do this more often. Right? We should.
I think that was all the questions. Do we have more?
We have a few more questions. Let's see. When did you start going out with all of your kids? Like to restaurants and et cetera?
That's not better. Like me, I mean, obviously it's different because it's COVID. So Agustina is 9 months and I've only taken her out once. I was pretty much the same with Eduardo. I was not the mom that like was out and about when their kid was a month. No, Eduardo started going out to a restaurant when maybe he was like 8 months, I think maybe. I mean, I lie. I would take him out. Like, so I have some photos and I have some memories when he was maybe 6 months and, you know, he would sleep a lot and he would sleep in his little, in this car. So he would take the car seat, but I never really took him out.
That's true. Yeah. You never really took him out, huh? I, on the other hand, am the mom that took him everywhere and still take them everywhere. All three of them. I think it was also out of necessity just because like I had no choice, you know, what am I going to do? Not, you know, I had to take them. And so I took them. I think I was just tired of being at home when the kids were younger. I mean, obviously the pandemic changed a lot of things, but now that we can go out again, I'm out, you know, if I have to go, I would rather take them, get in the car and go to Target and go and do it. Or go to, I don't know, to the park or go to, you know, I'm not really scared of taking them out just because I have all this time. I think it all depends on the ages of your kids. I saw in the post that she has 3 kids under 4 years old. I wouldn't do that. If all my kids were under 4 years old. The other day I went out with my best friend. She has 3 kids. I have 3 kids. 2 people for 6 kids was a lot. Like we were like, we have a kindergarten, just her and I. And, you know, our kids are older and they, you know, they listen, they follow us, they hold the little kid's hand. But I feel that if you have three kids under 4 years old, I don't think you should put yourself through that. You won't have a good time. You know, you just won't have a good time. Maybe start like going to like the park and then work your way up. But you know what I mean? It's just a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot, girl.
It's a lot, girl. Okay, last question. Was there something your parents did to you as kids that you swore you'd never do? Hi. How much time do we have?
You want to go, Paulina?
I mean, I think my parents, now that I'm older and wiser, I understand and I realize that my parents did the best that they could with what they had. You know, I had to really look deep and look beyond that. What my parents, you know, my parents were super young when they got together. My mom was 17 and my dad was 20. And if you think about it, a 17-year-old person and a 20-year-old boy, machista, you know, Oaxacan, Mexican, I really admire my mom for everything, like for raising us the way she did. I think she did a really good job, regardless of her situation. And, you know, I understand them. But I think I am trying to be more of a positive, disciplined parent as opposed to my parents. Other things that I swore that I wouldn't do was I would never put all the weight on my firstborn daughter because like I had it and I'm not going to do that with Krista and like, and my husband's the same. He's the oldest. And he was like, we're never going to do that to Krista. Comes to now, Krista, can you look at your daughter, at your sister, Krista? Like, you know,
your daughter.
At your daughter. Exactly. See? Krista, babe, you know, Krista, or like in the mornings, like, Krista, can you give your sister cereal? Krista, and like the things that that was the main thing that I'm like, I'm never going to do that to Krista. And so here I am doing it to her.
Well, my kid's only six, so I don't really know what mom and dad were doing with me at 6 years old. I'm sure I've done so many things that I swore I would never do. Let me think about, right? I was thinking about when you were saying it. Can you help me? I'm sure you've seen my parenting.
I mean, I just think our, you know, our experiences were really different. You know, I was the oldest and it was different. I think growing up, and I think that's something that's always, you have had always like a mind of your own. You've always been really strong. I don't know. I think you have you parent completely different from mom and dad, you know, completely, totally opposite. Things that you do, I don't think you do a lot of the same things that mom and dad did.
Well, I think here's one thing. I think that during this pandemic, I remember like there was like a period of time when I started screaming a lot, mm-hmm. To my son, and like scream. And when I mean like, and I mean like, I wouldn't lash out and like, I would never call him any derogatory terms. But I did just lose my patience. And at that moment, I kind of had this like very empathetic compassion for mom and, you know, four kids. And mm-hmm. I remember saying like, I'm never going to scream at my kids. I remember very vividly mom screaming and yelling at me. And I would think like, I'm never going to scream. And I remember like how I felt that night and how I would feel during that sort of, you know, like there was definitely like a little period during the pandemic that like, it was all sort of it was very stressful for me. And then I started doing just like more work and I started realizing where those feelings were coming from. And I think like, I know that everyone always tells you at the end of the day, you become your parent. And I think I've become my mom, not the way I parent, but I think in little things like organizing or not wanting to stay still or little mannerisms I have, I've definitely become my mom in those sort of things and collecting a bunch of shit, definitely becoming my mom. But I think in the way I parent, I think as soon as I sort of see a little bit of that in me, I go back and I start doing the work that I need to do in order to sort of pull that back, bring that back, you know? And mm-hmm. I think like you've done so much work as well, you know, and you started this sort of, you know, journey of working on yourself within the family and therapy. And I think it's really important to be able to do that. It's like the same thing we say about working out, right? Like, you really can start working on yourself and sort of changing those patterns unless you work on yourself and you start to really love who you are and realize that you are not your parent and your kids are not you, you know?
Yeah. That's one of the biggest things. You have to realize that your kids are not you. And sometimes we do that. We do that a lot. We do it a lot. Anyway, that is all that we have. We have more questions, but I think we should keep it for another,
Another AMA.
Another AMA. This was fun. I like them. I like them, Bricia. Do you have any other last words of wisdom?
No. Thank you for listening. You know, hit us up on Instagram.
Keep sending us the questions, ladies. Keep sending us the questions. All right. Until next time, Super Mamas. Bye. Bye.
Hey sisters, thank you so much for listening. Hope all of you guys are subscribed to our newsletter. If you're not, make sure you hit that subscribe button on supermamas.com. We will be sending out invites to upcoming events, promos, and super cool surprises your way. And of course, you can always keep up with us through the gram at _supermamas and on Twitter, also at _supermamas and in el Face at supermamas podcast.
Oh, one more thing. We want to hear your Super Mama moment of the week to share with all of you sisters. Call into our hotline, 424-329-3707, and leave us a message or simply email us a voice note to hello@supermamas.com. Very soon, we could be featuring you on the show. Please remember to leave your name and Instagram handle for a chance to be featured.
Much love and see you next week. Super Mamas!